When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Is Aaron Boone to lead off? His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 206. 2 hours down, three more to go on this five-hour midnight ride. Taking to the warm-up show at 5 a.m., 888-808-1019. Me and Fleeks with you on the other side. Taking your phone calls on the Mets, mainly, as they take care of business in Game 1 of the Wild Card Series. Take down Peralta and the Milwaukee Brewers, 8-4. They battle back every time the Brewers score a run. I know I keep focusing on that. That's my favorite thing about it. I love that. I love not allowing it. I love not letting the team build momentum by leading for innings and innings and innings. Like, you keep putting up, putting up zeros, and you're down 2-3 runs. It just kills you. But you got guys breaking out of slumps like Winker and J.D. Martinez. You got guys doing the same thing that they've been doing in Taylor and Iglesias. Vientos comes through with a bunch of big hits in this game, and then Severino settles in and gives you the 2 innings you needed from him after the Mets take the lead 8-4. He gives you the fifth and sixth of 1-2-3 baseball, and then the bullpen, Buto and Stanek for 7-8-9. And the Mets are set up for a big time performance tonight. They're going to have their best pitcher on the mound, Minaya. You're going up against Frankie Montas, who we remember here at the Yankees. He struggled with the Brewers in the second half here. The pitching matchup favors them. I believe the lineup is better. The bullpen's probably in a better position. It's just all lining up to take care of business tonight. Because if you don't take care of business tonight, well, then all of a sudden, things feel a little bit different. You'll feel good about Quintana on the mound, who's been very good over the last month. You'll still feel like you have the team, and they've bounced back from every single situation. And despite the idea that they won that game on Monday with the season on the line in many ways, that first game still wasn't a lose-and-go-home situation. They have not faced that just yet. Although they've bounced back at every opportunity, the Mets have not faced the win-or-go-home. And on the road, that's a tough. It's always tough. Anything can happen. So tonight's a huge game. And we've seen a lot of sweeps in this wild card. I believe since 2000, they've been doing it for 2 years now. This is the third year of this format. And the only wild card series that went 3 games, yep, you guessed it, the New York Mets against the San Diego Padres 2 years ago. Every other wild card series has been a sweep. How weird is that? And obviously those winners have been uber successful going on to the next round. Last year's world champion was a wild card. Last year's NL champion was a wild card team. We have seen those teams be successful and dominant in the wild card round. That first game is huge. So the Mets get game one. They have a massive advantage. But that only lasts tonight. They better get it done tonight. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Eric in Woodbridge. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, man? How's your day going?
It's going all right. How are you? I can't seem to get this tickle out of my throat no matter how much water I drink, but other than that, I'm good. How are you?
No, I'm just in the drive-thru right now at McDonald's, but me and my buddy were talking last night.
Wait. What are you going with?
McDonald's, mocha frappe.
That's it? You're getting a coffee?
Yeah, like a mocha frappe. Yeah, a little
nothing.
Snack,
chicken cookies. Nuggets.
No, none of that.
No, okay. But enjoy the coffee. All right. So what do you got?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. So we just think Jets are going to be an 8-8 team. We're seeing that Quentin Williams ain't nowhere to be found. We just feel like the defense is a little suspect. You know, some days it's good, some days it's not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the defense was pretty good. The defense was pretty good last week, and the defense was good against the Patriots. The defense really struggled against the 49ers, no doubt. And there were times, there were a couple drives in that game where they allowed too much running. They allowed the ball to be run too well on them against Denver, and they broke a little bit. And then had a bad play on that 3rd and 7 for the touchdown. But ultimately, they gave up 10 points in an NFL game. They are missing personnel a little bit. They're dealing with injuries. The Jermaine Johnson Achilles injury was tough for them. They don't have Haason Reddick. The defense isn't what it's been. I am a little more worried about the defense than I was at times last year. But right now, I'm more concerned about getting this offense going on a regular basis. Like, what we saw Sunday from the offense was pitiful. But I still don't think I'm there with 8-8. I think they're far better than 8-8.
I just hope, like, with the talks that's going around right now, that Davante Adams really does go to the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to. I don't know who around the league would. I mean, I joke that Kansas City needs a ton of help in the wide receiver room. They have nothing, but why would the Raiders ever give? Only the Buffalo Bills give the Kansas City Chiefs wide receivers. I don't think the Raiders are in the business of giving their main opponent one of the better wide receivers in the league. So, I mean, I think there's a chance he's a Jet. I do. I think there's a chance they figure this thing out and he comes back and works with Aaron Rodgers. But even that doesn't fix all the ills. Right now they got an offensive line who wasn't very good last week. Thank you for the call. Enjoy the McDonald's. That's a depressing McDonald's order, I got to tell you. When you tell me you're on the drive-thru at McDonald's at 2:12 in the morning, I'm expecting, let's go. What do you got? Are they serving breakfast? Not at 2. I don't think they serve breakfast this early. Was it 5, 5:30? So McDouble. Chicken, you got to go, like, they don't call it the dollar menu anymore because, no, nothing costs a dollar these days. But the McChicken sandwich, the double cheeseburger, chicken nuggets, something. The classic Big Mac, double quarter pounder with cheese, Royale with cheese, he's getting a nice coffee. I mean, I'm not knocking it. This time of night, you want to make sure you stay awake, little caffeine fix, but you go to McDonald's, you got to at least get the fries, something. Apple pie. Although, I mean, I don't think I've ever gotten the apple pie at McDonald's. I have a bad relationship with fast food. 888-808-1019. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I hope he comes here. I think they're going to try and go get him. And a second-round pick for a guy his age and the amount of money he's going to be owed the rest of the year, they're going to have to figure out a way to make sure they're under the cap. They're going to have to play some games, move some things around. I would think, I don't know how it would work for this year. If they rip up his contract and give him an extension, can they manipulate the money to help them stay under the cap this year, next year? But as far as just on the field, I think it's a no-brainer now. I didn't love it for football purposes. Forget the money. Forget his contract. I mean, that was part of it. But I wasn't sure I wanted it for football purposes. One, sequel's never as good as the original. So I don't expect it to be as dynamic as it was when they were in Green Bay. I think it'll help and it'll be, they'll be good. But it won't. I don't know if it'll be best quarterback wide receiver tandem in the NFL like it had been. And two, I thought it might stunt the growth of the relationship between Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, which is I wanted to see become the next Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. But it just feels like that's not there right now. And this team is so much win now that I don't know if I have time to develop that. I thought that would be developed by now. I know he hasn't played, but he's been in the room, he's been in the building talking to this kid for a year and a half. I just expected the relationship and the on-field chemistry to be far better than it's been. So at this point, I don't know if I can sit around and wait for it. And it's a must-win now situation, without question. So it makes a little more sense today than it did earlier in the season. And with the way things are going in Vegas, they're going to move them. I don't know who would be more motivated to do it than the Jets. Jeff in Fairview. What's up, Jeff?
Chris, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing good. Okay, on the wild card, the history, the first team to win the first game, they have won 14 out of 16 series. So hopefully, but the Mets,
In the what are you talking about? In the wild card?
Yeah, won the first game. They have won 14 of 16.
Oh, okay. Right. And you're counting 2020, that's why. Because I just gave you the stat that it's only one time, so you're giving me two. So, yeah, in 2020, they had this format. They hadn't made it They hadn't made it a thing. They went back to the one-game format in 2021 before changing it officially. They did it for the pandemic season. So, okay, in this format, which, I mean, listen, was the exact same format, so that's fine. But, yes, that is true. There has been a remarkable number of sweeps. It's almost exclusively sweeps where the first team that wins, wins the second game. So, yeah, I mean, the Mets are in prime position. The Mets are in really good spot right now. I think they're going in with a better pitching matchup. I think they're overall better lineup. And that you could make the argument the bullpen's in better standing. So,
yeah, I heard it on the Mets radio, the post game show.
Yes,
that's that.
Yes,
I have no cable, so I'm listening. And Howie Rose is great.
Oh, Howie Rose! Yeah, Howie Rose had himself a day the other day, and I'm sure maybe we'll play a little bit of the highlights. I haven't heard any. I could go for some Howie sound. He's the best. Yeah, yes,
he did that 5-run inning. I think he did all the run. Might have done up. Most 7 out of 8 runs today. Usually, I'm telling you, I've been listening to the radio all year.
Yeah,
he gets all the the big runs. I mean, Howie finally has gotten some runs lately. Because I'm a diehard, I'm a radio guy. Because I took cable off. I ain't paying $165. I had enough.
I hear you.
Anyway,
good for you.
Still, I didn't get cancer. I'm still alive. I haven't had cable for a year, I'm still alive.
Amazingly, without television, you still managed to
everybody,
live.
Everybody, they don't have cancer. Oh, I got no cable. I can't do this. No, you can still live. All right. Taylor.
God bless you.
I want this guy playing all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, put Beta for defense. Seems like Taylor does something good all the time.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt he's going to be. He's in every single lineup. No doubt. He's playing every game.
Yeah, he's been clutch. And Marte's been hitting. I mean, he hit the sacrifice fly. He got robbed of the homer. He's been hitting the ball hard. He had a couple hits in that Brave.
I don't disagree with you. I think it feels like that's the outfield right now, and it's just a matter of Winker, JD for the DH position. I think the lineup has kind of settled itself here.
And good move by the coach, Carlos Mendoza. Pinch hitting when they bring the lefty in, and J.D. Martinez comes through with a base at the right.
Yeah.
Now, I can see on the SNY app, I see the highlights. So I listen to Harry.
Oh, you have the app, though, so you haven't completely abandoned. Yeah. You're not off the grid completely. I thought you were calling from a rotary phone right now.
No. I got rid of that like 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
But, and on the Jets, and I tell you what, Rodgers and Wilson, they were arguing practice, like preseason practice. They were arguing a lot. Yes, so you might be right about that. And if I'm Wilson, I watched tape of your guy, Neighbors. This guy's good. I watched film on him, and I try to do what this guy does.
Well,
he's really good. You know me. I hate the Giants, but I respect this guy, Navy. He's tremendous.
Of course, he's been great. Well, listen, I think Gary Wilson thinks he's on par or better than Neighbors. And he's shown that ability. I mean, Neighbors has really made a huge intro to the league here, and he's been better over the first handful of games of his career than Garrett Wilson was. So he's on pace, theoretically, to outclass Wilson. And right now, I'm surprised. I thought you would be seeing these explosive performances. I mean, I remember at the beginning of the year listening to Bill Belichick talk, and he's been making the rounds, doing a ton of media, and he's doing the show where he has, I saw him with Ocho Cinco and a bunch of guys, and he's like up there on like doing X's and O's and asking questions, and it was actually a really good segment. It was like he was almost like a teacher going over stuff and asking everybody, well, what's this and what would that be? And look at this and who's this guy? And it was actually pretty interesting. But I remember him going, Wilson, Wilson, Wilson. I make sure Gary Wilson doesn't beat me. And it made me feel like, wow, he really, the talent must jump off the page. We all must be, seeing the same thing. And now whether that's the defense is doing it or you're telling me when you don't go in to try and stop Justin Jefferson when you play Minnesota. You don't try and go in to stop Neighbors when you play the Giants. You don't go in to try and stop all these great wide receivers who still put up days every. You don't go in when Tua is around before the Dolphins absolutely become the most anemic offense in the league without him. It is amazing Just on a side note, I was thinking about that the other day. Like, is there another player in the league that we are unsure about, that we don't even know? Now, he got paid, and we all think he's somewhat talented. He was great in college. And I'm sure we all think Tua is a serviceable, pretty darn good, accurate, not great arm, but a pretty good quarterback. Now, I know that the backups there are miserable, but is there another player in the league that we don't think is, like, really, really good, who when he leaves the team, they become completely inept? Like, not just, like, not as good. Completely inept. Like, if Patrick Mahomes leaves or gets hurt and can't play for the Chiefs, and they're inept, we go, well, listen, there, how you function without Patrick Mahomes? He's the greatest. You know, Josh Allen leaves, and it's like the Bills' offense goes nowhere. Well, what are you going to do without Josh Allen? Josh Allen's the greatest. Lamar Jackson, MVP. Like, you go through the line of all the great quarterbacks, and you say, I could understand how that team completely folds. Like, I don't think we view Tua as that, and yet the Miami Dolphins can't function without him. Watching that game the other night against Tennessee, I was like, my goodness, they could hardly complete a pass. Bizarre. But I expected Wilson and Rodgers to already be on this trajectory of having big games and figuring it out and beating the defenses who are trying to stop them, and Rodgers coming up with a plan. Instead, he's running to the goalpost, and Rodgers is throwing 30 yards behind him. Eric and Lyndon, what's up, Eric?
What's up, boss? Hey, you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, how they scheme for Justin Jefferson. I mean, how defenses, you know, key in on Justin Jefferson and neighbors. And I think that's directly right. It's coaching. They find ways to get the ball in those guys' hands. They scheme them open. You watch games around the NFL and you see receivers running open for 4 or 5 yards of cushion, yeah. Right? And it's because the coaches are scheming them open. You know, you look at the talent on the Jets and then you compare it to Denver, and I understand weather was a factor, but there's no reason why they should lose to that team.
No, of course.
Or you just look at it from talent to talent, no, man to man, right? Exactly. So it all goes back to coaching. And we know Rodgers, you know, young receivers struggle with Rodgers, right? He expects them to see the game, the way he sees them. He sees it. And, it's, you know, and it should be Hackett's. You know, he should be that buffer or that conduit to channel that. But, you know, the coaching is going to be the downfall on this team.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it.
No, I don't disagree, Eric, but I don't disagree necessarily that the coaching was terrible on Sunday and is one of their biggest issues. But at the same time, I said on Monday the same thing. Like, I think we're letting Rodgers off the hook. I had a caller call up and talk about that post-game comments between Saleh, the cadence, and Saleh's comment about the cadence, and then Rodgers. And the caller was just like, well, who the hell is Robert Saleh to question the great Aaron Rodgers, the 4-time MVP, and blah, blah. And while I'm all about Aaron Rodgers, and I think he's great and everything, who is Robert Saleh to question him? Like, I mean, I think Rodgers played a terrible game. We can blame the coaches all we want, right? And we can say, oh, that's coaching. Nathaniel Hackett's supposed to be that. When I say coaching, I include Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is the de facto offensive coordinator on the field. He's the one who does the cadence. He even said it today on Pat McAfee. It's on the players. It's on us. He's like, don't blame the coaches for the pre-snap penalties, at least not offensively. That's on us. We've been practicing this. We've got to be better at it. Robert Saleh's not in the huddle. Robert Saleh's not on the offensive line. Like, there's plenty to get to about Robert Saleh. I'm not trying to let him off the hook, but I feel like we're taking Rodgers off the hook. Rodgers missed a bunch of passes. Rodgers and his wide receivers aren't on the same page. Is that partial coaching? Sure, but you know what? Aaron Rodgers is an offensive coach to me. When I say the coaching staff, I include the quarterback with this team. And he played terribly in the game. Just yeah, it's okay to say it. He was brilliant. He was brilliant Thursday night. And to speak to the coaching staff and guys running open, did you watch the game Thursday night? Guys were running open. He had guys open, and he hit them. He played very well. He looked like Aaron Rodgers. He looked terrible in the rain on Sunday. And while I can blame the coaching staff, we all can, it's an easy target. Doesn't mean it's wrong. Doesn't mean they're not an easy target for a reason, but like Aaron Rodgers has to be better. And I view him as part of the offensive coaching staff. And whether we agree with the dynamic or not, Robert Saleh really isn't a part of the offensive coaching staff. He isn't. We could say that's the wrong way to go about it, and that's fine. But the fact of the matter is, he's not the reason they had so many false starts the other day. He's not the reason Aaron Rodgers is looking for back shoulder throws and Wilson and Lazard are still running down the field. I mean, I guess you could argue he's the reason that Allen isn't in at the goal line, because I know if I were the head coach, I'd freaking insist it. Whether Hackett and Rodgers were going to do it or not, I would freaking insist it. But like, I'm open to the idea that Robert Saleh hasn't proved himself as a good head coach. In fact, every sign points to the opposite. I agree with that. But I just feel like coming off of that game, it's like, oh yeah, Robert Saleh sucks. Robert Saleh's the worst. Robert Saleh, Robert Saleh, Robert Saleh. And I'm like, okay, but I thought they brought in a quarterback. Like, put it this way, Aaron Rodgers is here, and when Aaron Rodgers is here, I don't care who's the coach. You don't lose a game where the opponent scores 10. Plain and simple. I don't care who the coach is. I don't care if it's the worst coach in NFL history, which maybe the Jets have right now. I don't know. But I don't care who it is. Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is your offensive head coach on the field. The Denver Broncos scored 10 points. I brought in Aaron Rodgers to overcome, no matter who the coach is, to score 11 points. Plain and simple. He's got enough talent there where I don't care who's I don't care if Ray Hanley's the coach. Aaron Rodgers needs to figure out a way to put up 11 points. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, Don? How you doing this morning?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. You know, I want to make 2 points if I can. One Jets, one Yankees. To get to the Jets real quick. You know, the Adams things came up before, you know, when they were talking about it earlier and then they put it down. And because of the way he was talking, you know, I had a lot of respect for him. I was like, you know, I don't even know that that's an option because he seemed like he was comfortable where he was. And I was thinking the Raiders with Minshew might have had a chance to take off, so the option would have come off the table. But assuming that it's available, that they are shopping him,
yep,
and that he's requesting the trade,
yep.
You know, last weekend showed me something why, like, I wasn't so, like, adamant that I need him, but I absolutely do. Because as much as there was some confusion with the wide receivers, and you brought it out just now when you were talking about it, that, you know, you could see times when the guy actually ran the wrong route because Aaron's thrown to a spot and the receiver's not there. But I think there was also a lot of what's been going on over the last few weeks, and Aaron spoke to that. And you could see Wilson's frustration. While him and Aaron are still trying to get in tune with each other, there is a lot of what you talked about with Belichick, with teams saying, let's make sure that he is not the one that kills us. And I think Adams would do a lot, you know, because as much as Williams and Lazard have been doing their stuff on the field, some of what they're getting is because of the fact that Wilson is there and everybody is keyed on him. I think if they got a talent like Adams there that could actually, you know, all it could do is be a win-win. Just open up things that much more for Wilson. You know what I'm saying?
And I hear you, but I also think Lazard has played well. And I think Mike Williams has played well. So, I mean, why hasn't that opened it up a little bit? I mean, the teams haven't been beat by that formula, because Lazard and Mike Williams has beaten them. They have beaten them when they try and focus on Wilson. So, like, yeah, of course, you add Devontae Adams, you make it more difficult for defenses, but like, not having another Devontae Adams type wide receiver isn't enough of a reason to not having some sort of relationship right now with Wilson on the field. It should be better right now with present roster.
All things considered. No, I hear you. Yeah. I'm just trying to free him up a little bit. And, you know, if it's a safety or extra kit that they got on him, then just to make that a little bit easier. But to get to my Yankee stuff, and before I say this, let me just say really quickly, I don't want it to be misconstrued that I'm picking Kansas City over the Orioles. But what I will say is, and to some extent it might not even make a difference because we're talking about just 2 days, but I like the idea of what they're talking about with this stat with the wildcard team, the first team that got it. Because hopefully if they could just wrap it up, then some of the problems with me sitting down and all that stuff like that kind of falls on them a little bit too. Now they're sitting for 2 days. The faster they finish up is the faster that they're off their feet. I okay. know they're still kind of in rhythm, but I feel like, you know, as a Yankee team that's been going through this before, and we've been in this situation where the last time we were in the postseason, we had to sit. I think it's an easy adjustment for us to try to, you know, be up for that first game as opposed to the rust and all that stuff that they're talking about. And right. I know they've been talking about a lot of other things that they do with the simulated games and even the machines that Stanton was using when he was trying to come back right. without having to go to the minors.
It simulates every yeah. pitcher, yeah.
So I'm just hoping that we don't have to give that first game to just be like, well, this is a game for us to, like, you know, season in or settle into the postseason. You know what I'm right. saying? If the 2 days off, if they finish off early and they're also sitting for a minute or two, maybe that helps. I don't know. No. You know, like, to what extent is that? I don't know.
Well, it depends. But, I mean, there's like different ways to look at it. I mean, I don't know if I've heard someone say that necessarily, but that you almost want to see one team get through it quick to have a layoff. It's only 2 days. It's not the same as six. Most people would feel like go play three, get your third starter out of the way, although not really worried about the Kansas City Royals' third starter or the Orioles' third starter, to be totally honest with you. So, but the idea would be get beat up a little bit. Use all your pitchers. Have your bullpen. I know they would have a day off in between the series, but use all your bullpen guys. You know, have a knock them out, drag them out three games. That, I mean, that's typically what most people would say. I understand your point about the extra, you know, two days off in a row is uncommon throughout the Major League Baseball season. Only the All-Star break really provides you that, or a hurricane in the case of the Mets. But I still think the benefit of making them play three games is probably more beneficial to the Yankees than making Kansas City sit for an extra day. I don't know. I would think using that third pitcher, going through their bullpen, you know, maybe now they have to use the closer three straight games. You know, who knows? I'd probably rather see them have a knock them out, drag them out. I want every game to go 14 innings. I want three games, 14 innings each. Like, that's what I want. But, yeah, look, I'm not saying I want the Kansas City Royals, okay? I'm not. I don't want to say that. But what a... It's hard not to, if I'm going to be objective, and that's kind of like my job here to give you my opinion. As Fliegelman said, one, the Yankees, I have a hard time thinking the Kansas City Royals are going to beat the Yankees, and they're not very good. They have the great player, and they have two pretty good starters at the top, enough to make them dangerous, no doubt. And Salvador Perez he killed them in that series they played a couple weeks ago. A real good professional RBI man at the catcher position, no doubt. Or at first base, no doubt. But that's like it. And if you look at them, if you take out their record against the White Sox, they're under 500. They are not a great team. They're just not. And, yeah, if the Yankees lose to the Kansas City Royals in the ALDS, forget about it. It will be the vitriol from the fan base towards this team, towards the boot manager, towards the team, towards the front office, towards the owner, will be at an all-time high. They cannot afford to lose the series. They just can't. And I don't. And in fairness too, like, and I don't want to talk negative like this. I'm just saying, like, it's playing out where I'm actually being positive, but I'm using the negative side of it to talk positive because I think it's a great matchup for the Yankees. I think they've lucked out. And lucked into really great matchups here moving forward. And they should absolutely be in the World Series. But if they can't get through the gauntlet that will be the American League Central on their way to the World Series, like, and I've been as big a Boone defender as there is. I don't think winning the division is enough to keep his job. How do you bring back Boone if they can't get past the Kansas City Royals?
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, can I ask a weird question that's completely out of nowhere that has nothing to do with sports, but I just saw another promotion for another Nicole Kidman vehicle. I like Nicole Kidman. Always have, from Days of Thunder. Love that movie. And I know she did Eyes Wide Shut or whatever, but there was a time when Nicole Kidman did other things. It feels like there's another, I guess, like another HBO show or some, one of these shows where it's like about an inappropriate sexual relationship. Like everything Nicole Kidman does now, it's like about sex. I don't know. I don't know why I shouldn't even be talking about this, but I just saw it literally right now as I'm scrolling through. Like every show is like she's like in a weird relationship. She's cheating on her husband. She's in some sort of weird thing. She's the head of a sex cult. She's this like every. You know, she's like every single time I look, like, what is Nicole Kidman ever going to be like? I don't know, a substitute teacher who's like dealing with like just normal stuff. Like, it's like, we get it. You look great for your age. Can we broaden our horizons, Nicole Kidman? All right, that's a weird one, but it you know, sometimes when it's 2:40 in the morning on these 5-hour midnight rides, I just say whatever's on the forefront of my mind. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Andy in South Jersey. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Chris. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Can't wait for Saturday. Let's get the ALDS
go.
Started.
I need this. Yeah. I need. You know what? I need the nervous energy that I'm like right around watching the Mets. I don't quite have it because I'm not a Met fan. I'm invested. I want them to win. I love watching the games. I was pacing the other day a little bit on the Brave game when it was just such a wild, wacky game. I didn't have to have that in this game, but I do need that nervous energy. Wake up on a Yankee game day. I need it. I need to get to Saturday.
Today was the midget hot dogs and the bacon wrapped shrimp. I want the prime rib. That's Saturday. You got to get to the main meal.
That's right.
It's going to sound like it's an oddball suggestion for the Yankee pitching.
Okay.
But I want to throw it out there.
Okay.
Kansas City or Baltimore? We're either going to see Kansas City's number 3 or 4 starter in game one, and Baltimore, we'd see their number 4 starter. They're not going to bring back Burns on 3 days rest.
Correct.
You're not going to bring back Reagans. I say start Rodon in game one, save Cole for game two. We're going to face Burns or Reagans in game two. A tough lefty, and Burns, he shut us down last week. I'd rather have Cole up against that guy and keep the game tight to the late innings rather than I think Rodon should beat the number 3 or 4 starter of either team in game one. Kansas City's offense doesn't scare me.
Yeah.
But Reagan's does.
Right.
Especially he's a tough lefty, and you know how the Yankees did against lefties.
And
Lugo
pitched better than Reagan's did in the series against the Yankees.
Lugo won't be ready until until game 3
right.
for that series because he's going to pitch today, and you're going to see
Reagans twice in the series and probably Lugo only once.
Right. So
yes.
The only risk to doing something like that is if Monday gets rained out and they push the game to Tuesday, because otherwise you got Cole for game 5 if you need it. Rodon for game 4. That's right. The first thing. Second thing, who are we putting at first base? I really don't want to see Ben Rice. I was hoping, I don't think they're going to do it, but I was hoping they would take these 5 days off. And I know it's going to sound crazy, but Judge or Soto, you put Bryce Harper at first base last year with his injury to get a better bat at first base and take your shot with either Dominguez or Grisham in center field. For the series, I know it's a crazy idea.
Yeah,
but the idea of Rice or LeMahieu,
it's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be.
You know that vomit emoji?
I don't think.
My mind.
Well, I don't think it's going to be. Honestly, I don't think it's going to be either of them. I think it's going to be Oswaldo Cabrera.
I'm fine with that.
Well,
I love him in the lineup.
I think that's what it's going to be. He's been the backup first baseman. I think it'll be him. It'll never be Judge or Soto. Like, I they're not going to do that to them. You're not going to add, and Juan Soto's not a very good, like, all of a sudden you're going to give him a first baseman's glove? Like, I'd feel more confident. If you're going to do that, if you're going to put Grisham in center, I'd just put Grisham at first, which they threw out there the other day that Grisham's been working at first for a little bit. They're going to try and put everyone at least. They're going to try and have it where everyone can at least handle the position a little bit. So if they need to pinch run, pinch hit, pinch something, that in late innings, maybe you could just throw someone in there. If you have to pinch hit Grisham or pinch run someone, you could throw them at first base. You know, Birdie's probably working with the first baseman's glove. I don't think they're going to start. I think it's going to be Oswaldo Cabrera. To your point about starting Cole in game two, everything you said makes sense on some way where it's not like you're not getting to, if it prevented you from getting two Cole starts, that obviously eliminates it. With the days off, you could still get two Cole starts in the series if you pitch him game two. But I don't mess around with it. I want to go out in there, like, because theoretically, here's here's the negative to your thought process. And this is why I'd be afraid to do it. If Rodon blows up, and let's be honest, that's a possibility. If Rodon blows up in game one and you score runs and get to their third, fourth starter, and you score 5-6 runs but lose 8-6, I know you're not afraid of their offense, but I'm not taking chances. If he gets blown up and now I'm going up against Reagans and he pitches and out-duels Cole 1-0, now I've lost game where I could have got a win in game one with Cole on the mound. I'm out there. I'm taking game one. Game one is so important in these short series. I'm putting my best foot forward. I'm starting Cole. There's just no way around it. I'm not messing around playing cutesy, figuring I could sneak by. I don't want to sneak by. Rodon's just going to have to pitch well. He's going to have to pitch well no matter where he pitches. I understand your thought process, and there is some, you know, validity to it, and there is sound decision-making in there in some ways, but I'm not messing around. Cole gets game one. That's it. Go out there and win that game. You're going to have the pitching advantage, a clear pitching advantage. Cole's only pitched half the year. I have faith in him. I think he's going to be good, but, I mean, Reagans and Seth Lugo have been pitching very well the entire season. Like, I'm not messing around. Cole, get me my best outing. It's going to be a pitching matchup for the Yankees. Go out there and win 6-0 and then put the pressure on the Royals. I'm not messing around and taking chances with game one. Not. But I hear you. At least it's not the craziest thing. I do understand the thought process. There have been people, especially in a wild card game, people talk about pitching your best in the wild card series. People talk about pitching your best pitcher second, that there's a thought process to that. I don't know about in a DS though. Gary on the Jersey Shore. What's up, Gary?
Chris, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. I appreciate the last caller's passion, but I'm glad he's not managing a team.
Yeah, I'm throwing Cole game one, and I'm not putting Soto at first base. That's for sure.
You're right. I don't want to just make those kind of disruptions day one of the playoffs. Hey, let me make a couple of baseball points, though. And I don't call that often because I usually agree with everything you say, and that's not great radio. But tonight, I thought you were a little dismissive of the Royals,
uh-huh.
And let me tell you why I think that. The Royals have one thing the Yankees don't have. As a matter of fact, none of the other teams have, my opinion, that is so important. It's this veteran Hall of Fame catcher in Perez. You mentioned he's an RBI guy, but what he does during a game for his staff, you can't measure. As much as I love Judge, the numbers he put up, I really think Perez is the most valuable player to his team in the American League. I really do. He's that good. And I'm worried about him. I really am. I'd rather see the Orioles come back, but I don't think they're going to.
You're worried because
I think Perez is that good at running a short series. Yeah, I do. And we have a rookie in Wells. I think that position is so important, and I don't think it can be taken lightly. I really don't. I mean, look at the great teams. They had great catchers. Great catchers make a huge difference.
Well,
in the short series.
I suppose. I hear you. I'm just looking at this year. I mean, I don't know if he's going to catch every game of the series.
Oh, he will.
He caught 90. He played 49 games at first base this year and 24 at DH.
I hope you don't play him.
I mean, in that series against the Yankees, he played first base in two out of the three. I'm not saying you're wrong necessarily that he's an important player, but like, I don't know if he's the everyday catcher anymore. He might catch every game in the series, but I don't view that as that. His bat scares me a lot more than his ability to control a pitching staff. Like, I'm not that concerned about that. I'm not concerned about how good he is behind the plate, you know, framing pitches and I don't think he's that I don't think he curtails the run game that well anymore. I mean, he could help a young staff get through a big moment. I guess, you know, that he could be a calming influence in a postseason series where a lot of these young pitchers won't have experience, and he can be that guy to lean on and have faith in. I hear you, but I mean, that's not anything that really weighs heavily with me. He's a great player. He's a great hitter. That's what scares me. Not so much anything else about it. I don't think that's something that sways the series. I don't think he makes them more dangerous. I mean, I think you're kind of clutching at straws to say, you know, they have a good guy who the pitchers can lean on. I suppose, but I'm more worried about the 100 RBIs he has. And what do you do this year? He's got 27 home runs and 104 RBIs. He had 271. He's got a 786 from the catcher position. That's one hell of a. I mean, it's not the 48 121 he hit in 220 in 2021, or the, you know. I mean, he had a monster year that year. 20. He's hit 27 home runs, 23 home runs, 23 home runs, 48 home runs. Like, he's been a home run hitter from that position, and he's so good. I mean, if you saw that series against the Royals, he was taking balls the other way. He's a very good hitter. That I'm more concerned about that than his catching prowess. Tim in Staten Island, what's up, Tim?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac? How you doing tonight?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I gotta be honest. You got me with two things. One, okay. when you referenced Days of Thunder, you got my attention.
Yeah, Days of Thunder is such a great movie.
All time.
Yep.
Second, I heard you earlier, and you said that you would watch a Mets playoff game over a Giants game, and I only got respect for that.
Yeah, I mean, over the current Giants situation, yeah, unfortunately.
I understand. As a Met and Jet fan, I could never say I would do the same, so I respect that.
I'm going to watch both. It's going to be hard for me not to watch a Giant game, but I'm just saying, like, there's no doubt which one's more important in my mind. I understand the Giants season's still on the brink. I just don't have a lot of faith in the Giants actually having a season, so for me, a playoff game is clearly probably more important, but I'll probably watch them alongside each other.
I know if we get to that point on Sunday, I'm going to have the Mets on the TV and Red Zone on the iPad, and I can't wait. I hope it happens.
Yep.
I'm just psyched about the Mets. I thought after yesterday, I said to my friends, I was like, either they blew all their energy yesterday or they're going to ride it out, and it seems like they're riding it out,
yeah.
And hopefully this is...
That seems to be a popular opinion amongst Met fans that I talk to. It's like, this is either going to blow up in our face immediately, or we're going to the World Series. Like, it's one or the other.
Right.
Like, nobody ever thinks like, hey, I don't like Milwaukee. I think they'll get through this one, but you know, they'll probably lose to Philadelphia. It's like, it's going to blow up right now, or we're going all the way to the World Series, baby.
Hey, listen, we just took 3 out of 4 from Philly, and in the last few years since they instituted the whole new playoff format, it seems like a lot of these teams that sit for 3, 4, 5 days kind of lose a lot of momentum.
Yep.
And with the Mets, like, you even had an extra day on Monday when no one played, so it just keeps you going. Baseball players are used to keep playing every single day, and this could be kind of like a slingshot into that kind of momentum thing, and it's just very exciting now. I hope it lasts. I'm a Met and Jet fan, so I don't get my hopes too high, but right now it's awesome, and I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, I mean, and if you'd have one hell of a early morning Jets, you get into the Mets later at 4 o'clock. That's a good day for a Mets fan.
It's gonna be sports overload. I don't even know what I'm gonna do with myself.
Sports overload. I don't disagree with you. We've talked about it since the format. Now, I think it's not a large enough of a sample size to really make a definitive point of, hey, the wild card actually benefits you. If you can make it through the wild card, it's actually a beneficial thing. It's only been a couple years. So far, that's been the case. I don't think there's any doubt. I also think it's partially some of the teams, to be honest with you. The Dodgers right now, since 2020, have been a desperately disappointing team. And even before the championship, right? I mean, that was the conversation around the Dodgers was Kershaw is one of the great pitchers of the generation. Can't win the big game. Can't win the big series. I mean, they were year in and year out, postseason, World Series. They wouldn't lose the DS necessarily all the time, but they had disappointing year after disappointing year in the postseason. And since, they've been really bad. So, I don't know. I don't know how much it affects them. But there's no doubt there's momentum built, and momentum is absolutely, I know the old cliche, it's only as good as the next starting pitcher, but I absolutely think there's something to be said about already playing playoff games, already being in that mode, already feeling that juice, already coming through with the big hit, obviously, because if you're moving on, you've won those games. So already getting the taste of winning a playoff game, already coming through in a big spot, already having that big hit, you know, that the nervousness of the playoffs already behind you. I do think there's something to it, but again, who wouldn't rather just not have to worry about that and make it to the next round?